actually pretty good. I love that cover.
Prince once went into one of those booths that lets you record your own song at the fair, and Chris Earle went in and took the tape before Prince could get it.
That's right.
Like, if there's anything, that is ever like left Prince,
that's right.
And the general public could get their hands on it, Chris Earle owns it.
Yeah. Apparently, he never heard from the Prince lawyers, and the Prince lawyers were notorious for shutting things down. And the James McNew here, he said that Prince probably liked it because he didn't get shut down, and he was able to sell the few copies that went out there with no repercussions from the Prince camp.
Nice.
Unheard of. Because in later on, especially when the internet came about, like, Prince's lawyers were shutting everything down. And until he died, nothing was on YouTube or the internet.
Now, here's the question. Was that released during the time that he was with Sony and in the active feud with Sony?
I believe so, yeah. It was around the early 2000s, so yeah. So it was around there.
He may have been deliberately looking the other way on that.
That's right. Yeah,
there was
1998.
Little, yeah,
that was it.
I think that's when that was going on. There was a little window there where you could get away with some of that stuff.
Yeah, because he switched to Arista Records for the into the Joy Fantastic album, Rave Till the Joy and Fantastic, which came out in 98, 99, around there. So yeah, he was in his feud. He was in his feud, and he had his slave name, supposedly.
Yeah,
and the unpronounceable symbol.
Changed his name to a symbol. Rolling Stone went out and figured out a way to print it.
Yeah. So I figured to play that because Prince, of course, we lost 7 years ago.
Wow.
Day after tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. I also have to say happy birthday, and in nicer news, happy birthday to my little niece. She's 5 today.
Wow.
Yeah. 5 quick years.
That's impressive.
5 very long years, I'm sure, for her, but 5 very quick years for the adults. Probably not the parents, but so we're having a big barbecue this weekend, and we're gonna have cake, and we're gonna do the whole thing up. We're gonna do it upright.
Is this my invitation?
You could crash it, probably. Yeah. Daryl's a fan. Daryl's a Derek fan. You could come over with Molly and Bobby, I think. I'll have to double check. It's not my party for the invites, but I could double check. It'd probably be all right. No, and I think we're going to do a camp in. We might do a camp in instead of a camp out.
Nice.
I might do the day before that night and just have, you know, little tent indoors or something fun.
I got wife working all weekend, I think. So
I think we'd have to dress up as princes, though, because she likes to dress as, she's in princess mode, so she likes to dress up in the princess every day. So, like, I think we'd have to go over as princes or as Prince. I can come over. I bought her a Prince shirt. I might be able to get away with having just Prince shirts over, and we can go over.
You know what I saw at Target today that I thought was awesome?
What's that?
And I had not seen these there before. They have these dresses for girls, and it's a skirt on the bottom, and it's the Spider-Man
skirt.
It's a Spider-Man outfit.
Yeah,
it's all one piece. And it's got the Spider-Man, you know, usual outfit on the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And a skirt on the bottom. And a hoodie with the Spider-Man...
That's kind of cool.
...goggles on it. And it's like, that's for,
it's got
like...
the goggles?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they're printed on it. They're not a separate piece.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at this and I'm like, that's awesome. Like, if a little girl loves Spider-Man, she would love to own this.
I was in Chicago and I actually saw a Spider-Man. And he was in the black costume. He was in, like, that, you know, was it the mid-80s, early 90s, black. He was in the black black costume. But he was on top of a bus stop. And I look up, and, like, Spider-Man's there. I'm like, what? And he was just kind of looking at everybody. And he had, like, the leg down and the arm forward and stuff. He looked just like Spider-Man in the comic books.
It was emo Spider-Man.
And nobody was bothering him. Like, the cops didn't say get out of here or anything. But it was cool. And then he jumped down and ran up the street. I'm like, that was awesome.
Wow.
It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Was he going to fight crime?
I don't know. But he didn't say anything. He just kind of did his moves, looked at everybody. And, you know, there's thousands of people on the street.
Nice.
You know, right down. It was great. On the Miracle Mile there in Chicago.
Yeah, that black costume Spider-Man is emo Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was neat, though.
Nobody likes emo Spider-Man.
This guy was like, he's jacked, too. He's skinny, jacked. He looked like little Spider-Man.
Wow. Maybe he's auditioning.
I don't know. He did a great job.
Maybe he wants to be the next Spider-Man. Yeah. Tom Holland better keep an eye out. There's a real Spider-Man out there.
Yeah, those movies have been pretty good. We should probably talk about movies real briefly. I saw The Cocaine Bear. Not bad.
How is it?
Yeah, definitely midnight movie. There's one sequence that goes on for about 7 to 10 minutes. fantastic. Through the roof funny. And just great midnight movie. The rest of it, there's a little bit of a story there. You know, about 40, 45 minutes, you get to know the characters who aren't that interesting.
Yeah.
But pretty good. You know, they got to introduce enough people for the bear to kill off.
Right.
But yeah, we're seeing. But even more surprising, the next night I decided to see Dungeons & Dragons. Great. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I didn't even want to see the movie. I'm like, I want to go to the movie theater. I got the AMC three a week. So I could see up to 12 movies a month for like $26, and I haven't been going. And I figure I got to go at least twice to make it worth my money, you know?
I've heard it's good.
I loved it. It was great. Chris Pine was great. Michelle Rodriguez was great. Hugh Grant was great. You know, who ever said Hugh Grant was great since anything since the 90s?
It's a
like Four Weddings and a Funeral. And nobody even liked him then. They're like that stammering idiot.
It's a heist movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all thieves. They're all thieves. But very funny. They're very funny. Like the opening scene, they're prisoners. And Chris Pine is basically up for being released with Michelle Rodriguez. And they present themselves before the judges. And there's an assembly of about four of them. And he's waiting for a specific judge to come in. And the specific judge that comes in happens to be like a Gryffindor? No, not a Gryffindor. Hippodor or something like that.
Hippogriff.
Hippogriff, yes, exactly. So classic, you know, Dungeons & Dragons, if you played it, you remember a hippogriff. Yeah. So the guy comes in, and as soon as that judge comes through the door, and before they can make their decision to release him or not from the prison, he goes flying through the window with Michelle Rodriguez onto the hippogriff. And, of course, the hippogriff is going to fly so they don't die out this tower. And as they're falling down, one of the judges yells, "But we were going to let you go." It was just great.
All right. Yeah, sounds good.
It was great. It was just a great way to start the movie. And it's just, there's a lot of funny stuff in there. What's his name? Bradley Cooper shows up for about maybe 10 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, and he plays like a halfling. So Michelle Rodriguez was like in love with him, and of course he comes up to like her knee, so they're having like, you know, this romantic talk, and he's like about, you know, as tall as her knee. It's really funny.
All right.
It's worth saying.
I hear good things about the Super Mario Brothers movie, too.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be good.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Super Mario Brothers, but I'd like to.
I've got the stuff that Illumination does is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, Disney's animated movies have been terrible for the last couple of years. They're on a real downward swing. But the Illumination stuff, Secret Life of Pets, Sing, of course, the Minions and Despicable Me.
Yep.
It's been great movie after great movie after great movie.
Yeah.
And they're just fun and entertaining. That's all they're about.
I was really surprised with Despicable Me and the Minions. Just great.
Yeah.
Yeah, really fun. I mean, to bring those characters into, they're just fun.
My kid loves the Minions.
Yeah.
And he loves Gru. And it's like, you sit there and watch him, and you're like, there's nothing here that's upsetting to the kid. There's nothing here that's, you know, going to corrupt the kid.
Yeah.
It's just fun. And the story is the story, and there's no greater meaning to any of it. Can we just have some entertainment once in a while, please?
Sure.
That's what they're doing well. That's what I like about them.
Yeah.
I got something you're going to be excited about.
A movie?
Have you got a 4K player yet?
No.
When are you going to get one?
I don't know. All right. I'm not sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Because fortunately, this is going to be out on Blu-ray, too.
What's that?
Get your pre-orders in now, kids. December. June. Hi.
Okay.
June is the 6th month of the year?
Yes.
June 27th. This has been a long time coming. Shout Factory has announced pre-orders for George Romero's Creepshow.
Oh, nice. All right.
So
I've got like 7 copies of Creepshow.
This is...
I got it on VHS. I got it on Laserdisc. I got it on DVD. I've got it on Blu-ray. I got that copy, that Shout Factory copy that just came out a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is going to have all...
I love Creepshow.
They haven't... They finalized the extras on this one yet. I'm checking to see if that's true or not. They're still working on the extras.
Yeah.
But pretty much everything that you had on those previous editions is here.
Yeah.
And for 4K, a brand new scan of the camera negative,
nice,
which should just be gorgeous because Shout Factory does good work.
You know, those new TV, the new TV series of Creepshow has been pretty good. It's hit and miss, like any anthology series, but pretty good. I watched a number of the first season. I think they're on like season 3 or 4, though.
The best anthology Romero ever did was, I mean, other than Creepshow is like the Romero, Stephen King, you know, the Pittsburgh Boys Go Hollywood thing.
Yeah.
After, like, Knight Riders was the first one, but this was their big mainstream hit. But the best anthology that he ever did, in my eyes, was Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. It got a little creepy sometimes, but that was also on, was it Cinemax or HBO or... It was Showtime, one of those, to be able to be a little more gory and
it
stuff.
It started out in late night syndication, and they basically dared channels to run it, and channels ran it at 11:30 at night. So it was a little edgier than everything else that was out there.
Yeah.
But they did a lot of original storytelling in that, and new stories, and just great twists on things.
Mm-hmm.
But Creepshow, it's a classic.
It is.
And this is one of the films that's been missing on 4K. Like, a lot of the Romero stuff is really hard to come by. Martin is coming out later this year on 4K as well.
Martin?
Yeah.
Like Martin Lewis?
No, like George Romero's Martin.
Oh, I don't know that one.
That's a great, great, great piece of Romero filmmaking.
I thought you were talking about Black Guy.
No.
The comic.
No.
Martin Lewis?
Never seen Martin?
No. I don't think so. Martin?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You must have seen Martin.
No.
I would be stunned to find out that you'd never seen Martin.
Really? And this is a horror movie?
Yeah.
By George Romero?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's one of the first movies with some heavy Tom Savini special effects in it.
Yeah?
And
were they like right out of school?
No. Tom had been working for a while professionally at that point, but Tom had been pitching his services to George forever, and George finally used him on Martin.
All right. It's a slasher movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about a young man who may or may not be a vampire.
Oh.
And
no, I don't know this one.
It's good. It's George Romero's Hitchcock film is the best way to describe it. And it's a real departure. It's sort of George Romero trying to do a serious adult thriller.
Oh, it was right after The Crazies, which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one.
It's in between The Crazies and Dawn of the Dead. And there's no mistaking it as George Romero. But it feels very different from the other things that he's better known for.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't think I've ever even seen this on like DVD or VHS anywhere.
DVDs have existed. It's never come out on Blu-ray.
Yeah. Hmm.
Great film. Highly recommend.
What are they waiting for? It says a 16mm print of the black and white director's cut, previously believed to be lost, was located in October 2021, and they're doing a restoration, so it's on the way.
So that's part of it, they found this copy, I think, sitting in somebody's attic.
Mm-hmm.
But the real issue with a lot of the Romero stuff, the reason that we don't have a current Blu-ray of Dawn of the Dead or a 4K of Dawn of the Dead is Richard Rubenstein. Who has basically refused to license any of this stuff into the North American market. He did a 3D conversion of Dawn of the Dead, are you the one I know who saw that? Did we talk about
3D
this?
3D version of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it, but I don't remember seeing it. I didn't see it.
Okay. I know somebody who saw it and said it was okay. He sunk a pile of money into it. Nobody knows why.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been holding up the U.S. release of Dawn of the Dead on home video until that saw a theatrical release.
Mm.
It got its theatrical release last year.
Got to get his money back.
Now everybody's hoping that we're going to get something on 4K finally, because all of these films have been released in Europe.
Yeah.
You just can't release them domestically. So here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
What do you got for us? Let's do a cover. Oh, I saw Mandalorian. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it was okay. Good ending, not great for me.
Does it undo the damage that was done last week?
No.
Can we talk about? You want to talk about Mandalorian?
Sure,
for a minute?
We can talk about it. I won't spoil it for you. They wrap something up, and they also open it up to season 4, of course. So you get to see Mando and Grogu. Or Din and Grogu go off into the sunset, so to speak, and move on to season four.
All right.
Which is good.
No more spoilers.
I'm not spoiling anymore.
I won't even see it until tomorrow.
Yep.
Let me preface this by saying I love Katie Sackhoff. I love Bo-Katan.
Eh, she's okay.
I love Bo-Katan.
It's an okay character.
If you've been following since the days of...
I have, Clone Wars.
The Clone Wars.
Rebels.
Rebels through all that. You know who Bo-Katan is.
Yeah.
And you know the story. Katie Sackhoff has been voicing that character forever. It's great to see her in live action.
Yeah, I did like that. I thought that was nice.
She does it well.
It's okay.
The problem here is why they didn't just give her own series.
Right.
Instead of shuffling the Mandalorian into the background in his own show.
Right.
This entire season has been a cry for help from Jon Favreau.
Yeah. But here's another problem. I think we talked about this once. Isn't Mando like a racial slur? And why is it that he's the only one that's called Mando? There's hundreds of them around now.
Why isn't
anybody else called Mando? Everyone's like, hey, Mando.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he's the one.
He's not Lando. He's Mando.
He's the one walking around in the silver armor. You know, he's got the shiny new Beskar.
He's been
armor.
Blending into the background, like in
you
the
can't blend
in the finale.
The
I don't even know where he was half the time.
This is part of the problem.
Yeah, I don't even know where he was half the time in the finale. He's there, but and there's some good stuff.
Now,
I'm not going to spoil it, but there's some good stuff. But I was underwhelmed. That's my review.
Here's
underwhelmed C+ for the finale for me.
Here's a trivia question for you. Do you know which character Jon Favreau plays in The Mandalorian?
He was Paz, who they killed off last week. Spoiler alert.
Correct.
Yeah. That's not a spoiler alert for me, because if you're following The Mandalorian, you would have seen last week already.
Paz Vizsla is voiced by Jon Favreau.
Who is becoming a good character,
yes.
And they kill him off because he's the strongest of all the Mandalorians.
We call him Big Doof in our house.
Right.
That's his name. He's the Big Doof.
Yeah, yeah.
And that character went through a tremendous arc this season.
Right.
And
he's been around in the cartoons and stuff for a long time, too.
And he's been around in The Mandalorian since pretty much the first episode.
Yeah.
As sort of this...
He shows up pretty early.
This kind of dim-witted guy challenging Din Djarin all the way through.
He's in the first group with the armor. He's in that small group of, like, four to eight
And one of the things, I'll say that I like about Din Djarin is that Din Djarin is a little dim-witted, too. These aren't rocket scientists, these Mandalorians.
Yeah.
You know, they're all sort of, we do what we do, and we follow our rules, and we don't want to question anything, and...
He's kind of a bruiser.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't really use his smarts too much, but he is smart.
So, in the prior episode, as far as we know, Paz Vizsla is gone. As far as we know, Paz Vizsla...
Yeah, well, we saw him get taken down by the, the last Jedi red guys.
And this was the thing.
The Throne Room 2 guys.
They brought in the stupid... hated Praetorian guards.
Yes, the
from
Praetorian
the last
guards.
Jedi.
Yes,
to do it.
Yeah, Dr. Praetorius.
The symbolism here is
Bride of Frankenstein.
The symbolism here is thick.
Mm.
This is the director of the show killing his own character.
Right.
With characters from the most hated installment.
Why don't you have Rio Durant show up? He was voicing that character too.
Of the Star Wars films.
Yeah.
Like he's brought it back for the specific purpose of killing himself. What do you think that's saying? And now all of a sudden we understand why Lizzo and Jack Black are in the previous episode.
Right.
Because Lizzo is Kathleen Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
and Jack Black is Bob Iger, and these are the people who are running Star Wars now.
Sure, yeah.
Playing
bocce ball.
This entire season has been a commentary on what's been going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And the most obvious example of it, up until the point where Favreau... killed himself off,
mm-hmm.
is taking IG-11, who is a beloved first season character,
right?
Based on a Star Wars character, hollowing him out.
I like the Eggnog better, but...
And sticking Grogu into him.
Right.
Which I guarantee you came from a conversation somewhere behind the scenes at Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
Where Kathleen Kennedy said, we don't care what you do, just stick Grogu in it and it will work.
Right. I don't think she's the brains of the operation.
She's not. She's wrecking it.
Yeah.
But this is like Jon Favreau is a way, way, way better writer
mm-hmm.
than what we've seen from that show this season.
I agree.
And what he's been doing is basically telling the fans, this is what's going on. If you want to know why this show sucks now, pay attention to what's happening on the screen, and I'm going to lay it all out for you. And it's a sad thing to say, because the first season of that show is brilliant.
Yeah.
It really is.
This has been my least favorite season by far. Do you ever see Chef? John Favreau's Chef?
Yes.
He's like a Cuban guy, and he goes with his son, and they make Cuban sandwiches, and
yes.
they go to the beach, and they go to Texas and stuff. I want to see Din Djarin and Grogu just sell sandwiches at the beach in season 4.
I think that's
far more interesting than what happened in season 3.
I think that's what Din Djarin was. I think that's what Favreau wants to do.
Because
Favreau had a really great story going about these two, like, lost but incredibly powerful individuals
yeah.
trying to forge a family with each other and an identity with each other while all of this other stuff is going on around them. They don't really care that the fate of whatever hangs in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to find themselves. And that was a really compelling plot line. And I was really interested in that story. And then Bo-Katan shows up and hijacks the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't like Bo-Katan.
I don't.
And it's not that I don't want to. It's not that I don't want to see her be the new Mandalore. I just want to see the story with Grogu and Din Djarin that I was enjoying.
You loved Lady Star Wars. Come on.
Ahsoka
trailer, Lady Star Wars.
The Ahsoka trailer.
There's not a man to be found in the first 10 minutes. The first 2 minutes of the trailer.
The Ahsoka trailer is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily buy her in that role. And again, I love her as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
She's not physical enough. Because if you think about, and I know this is an older Ahsoka Tano that we're seeing right now.
Right.
But if you think about Ahsoka Tano, we're used to seeing her young and nimble and doing all this crazy Jedi stuff.
Well, when she first shows up, she's very annoying.
Yeah.
In that first Clone Wars movie.
She is.
Yeah, and super annoying.
Same thing with Ezra Bridger.
Yeah.
Is very annoying in the first season of Rebels.
Yeah.
And kind of...
And then Lucas finally gives him a little more leeway to be able to expand the characters a
yeah.
little bit and make them more serious.
And he finally grows into something. And we're going to see Ezra Bridger in that series, by the way.
Yeah.
Ezra's coming back. Thrawn is coming back. That's sort of the big hook for Ahsoka.
Well, they also show
Thrawn.
Chopper, and they show Hera there.
Yeah.
And they show Sabine in the trailer.
Yeah.
And you don't see Ezra.
We saw Zek in an episode of The Mandalorian, so we know that he's... lurking in the background of all
Zeb,
of this.
Zeb, yeah.
Or Zeb, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm psyched to see all of them.
Yeah.
Because I loved Star Wars Rebels.
Rebels was great. Yeah, really good.
It's Dave Filoni's stuff. Dave Filoni's stuff is too much pirates with him. He's got a thing with the pirates.
Yeah, the Swamp Thing pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you see pirates, you know Dave Filoni is the one that's doing that.
Well, the other thing, too, is like with the Book of Boba Fett, they throw in the twins, which was great, the Jabba the Hutt's cousins.
Yeah.
And then they get rid of them.
Yeah.
So, 'cause they have no budget. And it's like, it's Disney. You have a huge budget. It's like they're just not investing extra money into it. It's like, why don't you make those major characters and do some actual Star Wars here?
They didn't have enough budget to make the mods look anywhere near acceptable, scooting around on their little scooters there.
Yeah. Some
of the CG in Boba Fett was atrocious.
Yeah, yeah. I do like how they brought back the little guys. The Rise of Skywalker
the droid repairman,
the Azeroulians or something like that.
Yeah,
it's not Babu Frick, but it's his friends or whatever. They're really cool. I thought they were fun.
They were fun.
There's
nice little flourishes and touches, like whole Ugnaught thing.
Yeah,
in episode 2.
Yeah,
was. Or episode 4 with Christopher Lloyd. That was awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Where like Bo-Katan,
when he's talking to him, and
like Bo-Katan, like they're ignoring her. And then Din Djarin sits down and he talks like an Ugnaught.
Right.
And he's like, I have spoken. Suddenly they're all looking at each other and they're like, oh, we'll talk to this guy.
Yeah, they know who he is, right. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I miss that character, the Nick Nolte character.
He was great.
Yeah. Queel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a great character. Let's do another cover. What do you got for us?
Yeah, let's turn up the volume a little bit. Let's get crazy.
All right, here we go.
We need some hard rock to get us through the 6 o'clock hour here on WMFO Medford. Oops.
feel to treat me like you do when you laid your hands upon me and told me who you are. I thought I was mistaken. I thought I heard your words. Oh, tell me how do I feel? Tell me now how do I feel?
game starting.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. What is this?
What is this?
This is Gary Glitter
what is
in the
this?
Background.
Why is this happening?
Yeah.
Wait, I don't think, no, we're on an FBI list now. You're playing Gary Glitter.
Gary Glitter. Oh, Joan Jett covered Gary Glitter.
Gary Glitter.
He's back in jail. He was out, and then they put him back in. He got like 16 years at like the age of like 70
yeah.
or something.
What did he do this time?
This time he tried to get on the dark web. He did a search to get onto the dark web, and the police were monitoring his phone,
yeah.
and he went right back into jail.
We all know what you're looking for in the dark web, Mr. Glitter. You got kind of a history with this thing.
Yeah, he went after like 10 and 11-year-old girls, man.
Boys, I thought.
And boys?
Yeah.
Like, just crazy. I mean, it's definitely a screw loose with that guy. Hell of an entertainer, I'll have to say that.
Yeah.
You know, but man, screw loose there. Same thing, you know, we bring up Cosby again. Hell of an entertainer. Screw loose.
Can't
Bad
be on
guy.
The outside.
Bad guy.
Can't be on the outside. Definitely yep. not a good guy.
I know a good tune when I hear it, though, and so does Joan Jett, and that's why she covered that one. Touch.
I just watched that Jimmy Savile documentary on Netflix.
What was that?
They've got a three-parter on Jimmy Savile, and it's kind of weird because it's told entirely from the media's perspective, and given that he was a huge media figure over there, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're kind of brushing aside the fact that he molested hundreds of children.
Who was this guy? Jimmy who?
Jimmy Savile.
He was the producer or something, right? What was he?
Well, he was a...
He was one of the chipmunks?
He was a knight. He was a presenter. He was friend of royalty.
Oh, sure. All right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Jimmy Savile.
And it's like, it's weird because they sort of talk about how he got where he got.
Yes, okay, yeah.
How he got where he got, how he stayed where he stayed, and how he got away with it, but they don't talk about what he did.
For years and years. Yeah, Sid Vicious Sid Vicious always came out against him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he always spoke up against him. Yeah.
So they've got that one. They got the new Boston Marathon bombing.
I didn't watch that. Yeah, I had a couple people I know watch that, and they said it was well done. I don't know. For me, it's 10 years, man, and I didn't really want to revisit it.
I would.
Are they exploiting it in any way? That's what I'm worried about.
Not really.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, at the end of the day, part of the reason that documentary exists is so that we can see footage from what happened at the finish line. But they actually keep that to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
My issue with it is, until you get to the third episode and like the last probably 30 minutes of the third episode, this is all stuff that you know. This is all stuff that we've seen before.
Yeah, that's probably because we're Bostonians, though.
No, but it's, if you've seen or watched anything about it,
yeah,
we're covering the same ground again.
I think that guy should have just been hung high in the square, man. It sucks that he's still alive.
Well, I mean, one of them was shot and run over, so that's pretty...
he was run over by his brother. That was his own stupidity.
The other one may still
get hung. I heard he got like 9 rounds in him or something like that, and he was still going.
Yeah.
And his brother ran him over, and it was it.
Yeah.
I just wish the other brother ran him over, too. Like, they both could have got run over, and that would have been it. They had to go through the whole trial. Everybody's paying him money. And
yep.
Would have been wrapped up like a Christmas present.
Poor dude got his boat shot up.
Yeah, I was in Watertown that day, actually. I was working. I used to work at Tufts down there, and I was having a couple of beers down the street. And I went home. And that night, they had the shoot. They had the shootout. And, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the background's the Wallflowers with the Bee Gees. Pretty cool tune.
I can't make any sense out of what they're doing or what Dylan's kid is doing.
I love them. They're coming to the Cabot in a couple of weeks. Already sold out. They're going to be in Foxwoods in a couple of months at the end of July.
So they're touring. Are they putting albums out?
They put out an album that was written and produced before COVID. It was written and done before COVID, but they didn't release it until really much after COVID. But the songs on there are some of the best rock and roll songs I've heard in years.
Right.
They're fantastic. There's at least 5 out of the 10, I just think, are like 4-star classics. They're awesome. And I've played them a number of times on the shows over the years. I'm definitely up for seeing them.
I love the first album. I thought the first album was something great.
Yeah, One Headlight.
Second album was kind of like, you're meandering a little bit here.
Yeah.
And then they seem to fall off the face of the earth.
Well, the only constant there is Jacob Dylan. He hires all these other musicians to come in. And this latest one, pretty much he's got like a female singer on like 3 or 4 of the tracks. And he hires some outside musicians come in, but the majority of it is just him. Kind of like, Jeff Lynne with ELO.
Yeah.
At this point, ELO exists, but it's just Jeff Lynne.
Well, it's because ELO has shed, like, all of its original members over the years. They get, sooner or later, everybody seems to get fed up with Jeff Lynne and leave.
He's great.
Yeah.
I love him. He's always looked the same since the 70s.
I know.
I mean, that guy doesn't age.
And he puts out great stuff, too.
Yeah. Plus, he's got the greatest sunglasses in rock and roll. He always had those aviators, like, with the little tan so you can't quite see.
He was rocking the aviators
what's going on
before
there behind the eyes.
Anybody.
Yeah.
He was rocking the aviators when it wasn't cool.
My dad had some great aviators. He had red tint aviators, and he wore them well into the 80s. They were from the 70s. He wore them well into the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was probably the only time I thought my dad was cool ever.
Then Tom Cruise slips them on in Top Gun, and suddenly everybody's got to have aviators.
Right.
Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
Got to get them Ray-Bans.
Ray-Bans are a nice sunglass. I hate how you get older and you start to lose your sight a little bit, and then you have to have sunglasses, bifocals, contacts, an eye wash.
Fighting all that
I've been
crap
doing the eye wash every now and then. Man, you put...
Eye wash?
It's fantastic.
What?
You get the eye wash... You stick your eyeball right on top of the top of the eye wash thing.
I'm not putting my eyeball on anything.
And you open it as wide as you can. So it's kind of interesting because there's a little fear involved in this, and it builds some constitution in you.
Yeah,
you
know.
You stick your eyeball right onto it, and you just roll it around.
Build. No,
you roll your eyeball around in the
eye
wash.
I don't need that constitution.
And then you look at the eye cup afterwards, and there's like dirt. It's almost like a Navage, the thing for your nose, except it's for your eyes.
Why can't I just leave my eyes alone?
But there's all kinds of things in it. You'd be surprised at how much stuff is in your eyes.
I don't want to know what's in my eyes. My eyes are fine.
Know how you get those floaties that go by and parasites are like floating in the air?
I got tons of those.
It's because you got stuff in your eyes. You got like dirt.
What?
Could be like dirt,
This
I was going to say something really gross.
This
but
is
I'm
crazy.
Not
this is crazy talk.
You could have dirt and things in your
eyes.
Eyes
in the dirt.
Any kind of bodily fluid can be in your eye.
No, those don't contact my eyes.
Never know.
No.
But It's nice. And your eyes feel great afterwards.
No, it's not nice. You're like, that's unnatural to be soaking your eyes.
Do you ever do the Navage yet?
No.
It's like a neti pot.
Yeah, I know it is.
Except it does it for you. So instead of tilting your head and sticking like the T sideways through your nose and then out there, and then it runs out like you drool it out your mouth with all the snot and stuff. Yeah. Disgusting. This Navage is battery operated. You stick two things. It's like two nasal pillows.
Does
you
it
stick
vibrate?
Both of them in your nose, and it shoots up one of them and flushes out the other one. It's fantastic.
Does
I watched
it
my friend Terrence do it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It does vibrate. It like shoots up your nose. It looked like he was drowning. Actually, it did not look pleasant.
Great.
Because it's got to be the sensation of drowning because it goes right up your nose.
Hey, kids, miss waterboarding? Now you can do it yourself at home.
Yeah.
With Navage.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, as you get older, you get a lot of gunk up there, and you breathe better.
And you know the rule with the Navage, right?
No. You got to have it like salt. It's got to be super salty.
It's got to be...
Throw some anchovies in there.
Yeah, no. It's got to be like filtered water.
Yes,
because
otherwise bacteria will grow in there.
No, that's not the problem.
Like those flying parasites from the original Star Trek flying around in your nose.
That's not what you're worried about.
Yeah.
You cannot use tap water in those. You've got to use special water for them.
Yeah.
Because there is a condition known as amoebic brain infection.
That's right. Yeah.
So there
the giant amoebas flying around your nose.
Well, no, you know what happens? The amoebas get into your brain and eat it.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Amoebas love to eat the human brain.
Ugh.
So just imagine like dying slowly as bits and pieces of you fade away.
I've been dying slowly a long time.
Amoebas are eating your brain.
Yeah. I don't know, man. At this point, I'd almost embrace it.
I prefer to completely minimize my amoebic brain infection risk.
Mm. I'll tell you, though, I felt like $100 after sticking those eyes in the eye wash. It's great.
Yeah, no, I'll pass. Thank you.
It's nice.
Thank you.
And you've been saying, you know, you got my eyes have been looking good. You know, you get the whites of their eyes. How they say the whites of their eyes. I got it again. It's healthy. When you got healthy eyes, you're a healthy person.
Has Colgate got an eye whitening product that I can stick in my eyes?
I'm sure they're gonna.
Yeah,
they're gonna do something. You know, I go to the dentist a couple of weeks ago. Phil Collins in the background. He loved doing all these old Motown songs and making them super white.
Oh yeah.
And the dentist is like, "Oh, we got something starting back there." That's what they say. You got something starting back there. And I'm like, what's starting where? I'm like, what are you talking about? They put in a crown last year, and I think they seated it in wrong because it felt like it was pinching against my gum. And now the thing's dying on me, I think. I think the gum is dying because it was seated wrong.
Yikes.
And they're telling me something's starting.
Yikes.
Like I'm going to have to get a root canal because the dentist made a mistake.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? And at this point, like we get to that age, too, even talking about it, you know, you start to feel it in your own teeth, you know? How's your enamel doing in your teeth? You still got it?
Maybe.
Mine's,
I don't know.
Mine, the back's kind of going.
I drink so much coffee that my teeth are coffee color.
Yeah, coffee and Coke is bad for them.
Yeah.
But do you get sensitive with the lemons and limes?
No.
I've always been.
I can eat anything.
Yeah. I love a good Mai Tai every now and then.
Mai Tais are great.
Yeah.
Mai Tais are awesome.
My
I gotta
teeth
get that
don't
recipe.
Like them, but I do.
I gotta get that recipe for
wasn't
you.
Wasn't that fantastic?
Those were good.
Yeah.
But it's
I
like,
made a good Mai Tai. That was like a $25 Mai Tai.
Yeah. That was it was a recipe from one of the Chinese restaurants around here that shall remain nameless.
Yes.
You used a couple of, which may be accurate.
Yeah.
Because did they give you an ingredient list for it or?
Yeah. I had an ingredient list for it. It was special and went back to like the 40s.
Was it brand specific? Like use this amaretto or use, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was spectacular.
Yeah.
And but the interesting thing about it was a lot of the ingredients that were in it were not top shelf liquors.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a 2023 idea for us to make money this summer, and I'm gonna make it like slushy stand 2.0 for the summer. Mai Tai stand.
Is it powered by artificial intelligence?
Mai Tai stand.
Mai Tai stand?
Frozen Mai Tai stand here at Tufts.
Hmm.
I think I can get away with it for about an hour.
Yeah.
And then I'll be shut down. But by then, I'll be sold out.
And then law enforcement's going to come by and be like, do you have a license to sell
But this guys? Is where you come in. You're the money man. You hold the money.
I got you.
So then when they get me, I don't have any money on me.
Right.
You just have to pay for the bailout, $50 maybe, down at the campus center. And then we got some cash to take Bobby and Molly out to the beach for the summer.
Do I have to run away when the police show up?
Yeah, you'll be long gone by then. I'll give you a bicycle. I'll give you like a bicycle.
I can walk briskly.
Yeah. You know what? That could be part of our salesman thing too. We could come in on like a on a tandem. with the cart behind us that says fresh Mai Tais.
I am willing.
Medford's own Mai Tai.
I am willing to wager that I can out briskly walk just about anybody.
Yeah.
My brisk walk is a near jog.
It's almost as if you were selling T-shirts, you know, at concerts back in the 80s and 90s because they had the quick brisk walk away.
You got to move.
Yeah. You remember when that guy sold me like a size small and he ran away? I was pissed. Yeah. Like, come on. They go fast.
You've got to be able to walk briskly with somebody calling your name or saying, hey, you, come here. Hey, hey, stop. Hey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you just keep walking briskly because you know at a certain point they're not going to chase you.
That's right. Yeah. I saw the Fools, too. I haven't seen you since I saw the Fools, I think. Did I tell you that?
How are they doing?
Great. Fantastic. I mean, that is a show that I love to see now because a few hundred people, very laid back. Great musicians. They've been playing since, you know, the 70s. So if you're doing something, they got their 10,000 hours in a piece, you know.
Yeah.
They're the best at being musicians.
They're a great Boston bar band.
Fantastic.
They had a little bit of national success and then went back to being a Boston bar band.
Yeah.
And it's like if you've been going to bars and music venues around Boston, you've seen them. And it's sort of like one of those things. It's like, oh yeah, those guys. Those guys are great.
They did a cover. As a matter of fact, I started putting it on the list, and it's more of a parody than a cover. When they did Psycho Chicken, it's literally Psycho Killer, but it's Psycho Chicken. And Weird Al would be proud because it was like 79, 80, so it was before Weird Al. But it's like a great musical. Perfect version of Psycho Killer, except it's a little faster, and they put the chicken sounds in it to make it more demented, you know? And that's where they kind of came on the map. But, it was a great show. And it was like, you know, 40, 50 bucks, whatever, and a few hundred people there, and drinks were like $5.
50 bucks, you know? To see the Fools? That's like...
Drinks were $5. Well, you know why? It was Ticketmaster, because they charged me another 15 a ticket.
Yeah, that's it.
It would have been 35.
That's it. Yeah, you know? See?
Yeah, Ticketmaster and Live Nation just suck.
Oh, they're terrible.
God, they suck.
I don't know why that's legal.
Yeah.
I don't think it is, but you know.
Can't believe they've been getting away with it for so long. And years ago, when I used to buy a lot more concert tickets, they did have something where they had to give everybody like a coupon code that was good for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and you get like $5 off of one ticket.
Exactly, and you could only use one. Yeah. You could only use one.
We ripped you off on service fees. Yeah, I remember that.
Which was crazy, yeah.
You know, if we can rally the Swifties to vote as a block.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
And swing some congressional elections, you might get Ticketmaster under control.
I generally like Taylor Swift, but to have my buddy who has like two teenage girls say, hey, you're going to see Taylor Swift? I'm like, I'm 51 years old, dude. I don't have kids. Why would I see Taylor Swift? You know?
Because the music's fun.
A couple hundred, $200, $300. It's not that fun.
Because the music's fun.
I like that Shake It Off. That one's good.
That's more... It's one of those questions that's better asked as a parent. Why would you knowingly go into a venue with 40,000 screaming teenage girls?
Yeah. Well, Gary Glitter would.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But I'm saying as a parent, like you spend your life trying to avoid that noise.
Sure.
So, you know, going to a place where you know it's going to happen at a level that you've never experienced before is not entertainment.
Yeah. Not having kids myself, it was interesting to see like a couple of kids the other day. They were probably like, I don't know, 10, 13. And the two of them were singing Taylor Swift at the top of their lungs. They didn't say hello to me, but I was in the room the whole day.
Sure.
And they were just singing at the top of their lungs. The cousins. Yeah. They were having a good time.
That's what they do.
But I was just like, I was looking at the parents like, these are your kids? I don't know. But it was weird because it was never any formal introduction.
Yeah.
That's what's just bizarre to me now. It's like there's no formal introductions with kids and adults.
No, we don't do introductions anymore.
Yeah.
Why do you want to know anybody? They're just going to die of COVID or a shooting you know.
I was working with somebody new and I looked straight at him and I go, hey, how you doing? I'm Chris. And I didn't put my hand out because, you know, COVID and all this stuff now. You never know. People are sensitive and stuff. And he just kind of looked at me and I'm like, hey. I'm Chris. I had to say it 3 times, man. And I was looking. He's looking at me right in the eyes. I'm like, are you there, man? I'm like, what is going on? And he's like 20, 21.
Yeah.
And then he smiled and he was charming and it was just like, what did you just do? Do adults just ignore you or you just don't talk to them at all? It's just weird.
They're so used to being on there texting everybody that they don't understand face-to-face communication. What someone's talking to me, what do I do?
I have to bring up Ozzy because we played him a couple of times. Did you see the picture with Ozzy this week? He was out on the town.
I did. He looked okay.
He looked like he's in a little pain there. He's a little twisted and stuff, but he looked all right. And he had a redheaded girlfriend there, and he looked like, you know, Ozzy's getting a little sugar, so hopefully we'll keep Ozzy around for a while there.
Apparently, the statement they put out said there are still situations where he could perform. Mm-hmm. He just can't go out on the road and do what he did.
Yeah, and it'll kill him. I mean, he goes on the road. You know it'll kill him.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
So... live Ozzy performances aren't necessarily a thing of the past, but they're probably going to be on TV.
Yeah, what a shame about the guy from ABBA, too. At least they got one more album out.
Yeah.
But did those concerts ever happen, or were they this summer?
Well, the concerts are supposed to be holograms.
Right, but they were supposed to be in the building as the holograms, weren't they?
Yes.
Weren't they supposed to be like in the background, and then they were projecting themselves onto the stage as younger versions of themselves using ILM technology from Lucasfilm?
This thing has been in development for so long and has gone through so many different iterations that I don't really know whether they were supposed to be there or they were not supposed to be there or what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. You know Puddle's Pity Party?
Yes.
Do you like him?
Not terribly.
No? All right, I won't play him. What do you think about Leonard Cohen?
Leonard Cohen's good.
Or John Belushi?
Oh, I love John Belushi.
You ever hear John Belushi sing Louie Louie?
Yes.
All right. That's not a bad one to end on.
No, that's a good one to end on.
Oh, you got another short one? Get two in.
It's like midweek. It's party time. I don't know if any of these are that short.
It'd have to be like two. Or we can do a Hooked on Polkas with Weird Al, and he plays a whole bunch of them. I got Elton John singing Spirit in the Sky.
Nobody wants to hear Elton John sing Spirit in the Sky.
We've had some excellent covers, I have to say. We should probably stay with an excellent cover.
We have.
At the end here. I got Hey Ya by Cocoon. You ever hear that before? It's girls singing Hey Ya by Outkast.
That sounds
on
like
acoustic.
Fun.
It's fun. It's a little low-key, but it's fun. I'll put that one on, and then we'll come back, and we'll say our goodbyes. How's that?
Sounds good.
That sounds good.
One, two, three, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
What is this? This is Outkast.
This is Outkast.
What did happen to, what's his name, CeeLo? Has he been around? I'm worried about CeeLo.
I haven't heard anything about CeeLo for a while.
I love CeeLo.
CeeLo's great.
Yeah.
CeeLo had that hot minute.
So great.
Everybody was singing Forget You.
F.U. song. Oh,
hanging
fantastic.
Out with the Muppets.
I was singing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. He was hanging out with the Muppets. He had a great Christmas album.
Yeah, everybody was digging CeeLo. Then it's like, oh, where'd CeeLo go?
Well, he'll be back.
You know, maybe CeeLo had to leave town.
He was great. I think he was the reason. He was one of the reasons that singing show became such a big hit. But Blake Shelton, man, C-list celebrity became an A-list.
Oh, yeah.
Off of that one. But CeeLo was a B-list. He became an A-list. And you know, Christina Aguilera, I'd say about the same.
Happens sometimes. You say the wrong thing to the wrong person, you got to get out of town for a while.
Think so?
Yeah.
You think he said the wrong thing to somebody?
Maybe
one of the producers?
He did. He's got to go hole up in Montana for a while.
This is a great one. The Shake It Like a Polaroid Picture.
Love this.
This isn't CeeLo. This is Big Boy. This is Outkast. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's not CeeLo Green.
No.
I'm sorry. It's Big Boy and Andre.
That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. That's all right. You knew what I meant.
Yeah.
CeeLo's great, too.
I remember Andre 3000 just randomly showing up on Saturday Night Live one night and doing this.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's like they come back from a commercial. It's like, here it is. It's like, I love this song. Why is this happening? This is great.
Yeah.
Why don't you do things like this anymore, Saturday Night Live?
I feel like I just lost my friend of the black man badge. Cool white guy badge, you know. But I'm just tired, man. I've been working a lot.
Yeah.
But it was nice to be back in the studio. We'll be here next week. I don't know what we're going to do next week. We can do more covers if you want, or we can just go back to BSing and playing some weird stuff.
Well, we'll see what feels right, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Where are we?
Sounds good to me. We are at WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Mellow Max is coming up next. You've been listening to What Is This with Chris and Derek on WMFO. Have a good week, everybody.